Okay, we are on Daf Lamed Amud Alpha. We're going to backtrack a little bit, and let's just review a little bit about the issue of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yochanan's contention with him. Again, Rabbi Yossi is saying there's a concept of a Revi by Kodesh, by Kochim. That it is a Shlishi can make something a Revi that makes a Korban Tomei. He learned it from a Kal Vachomer, from Mechusar Kippurim. A person who has gone to the mikvah, the night has fallen, but he needs a korban brought. And we said a mechusar kippurim, who's allowed to eat truma, but he can't eat kachim. He'd make kachim posel. So we say kal vachomer now, a shlishi, something that's a shlishi, which is posel for truma, then all the more so, the third thing, a shlishi, should make a revi by Kodesh. And there should be a tum of a revi by Kodesh, kal vachomer from Mechusar Kippurim. That's what his, the kal vachomer was. To which Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, just because something can make truma puzzle, does not make it all a kal vachomer, they can make a revi by Kodeshim. Because we know by a tevul yom, who makes truma posel, if he would eat truma posel, but if that truma touches Kodesh, it doesn't make the kachim tame. So you see, just because something makes truma posel doesn't mean that the truma now touches something else. The shlishi touch revi doesn't make it Kodesh. Exactly not like what you said by tful yom. Right? That's the break. We're okay so far? No, that's an opinion, not a pasuk, an opinion. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, when he asked the question, he assumed that Rabbi Yossi was going to hold like the Chachamim in the following machlokes, you see, because it's a machlokes. We brought three opinions. Abba Shol, for example, said, no, that if a shlishi touches Kodesh, it does make it tamei. If Truma does, it does. So what was the base of the question? Because I thought you'd hold like the Chachamim. The Chachamim says that a tful yom is less than a sheni, and he can't make shlishi revi. Remember? So if he can't make shlishi revi, so the whole tful yom, just because you can make truma posel, doesn't mean you can make kodesh posel. So I imagine you're going to hold like the chachamim. So Gemara is saying, well, wait, no, maybe he held like Abba Shol, that Abba Shol says that a shlishi can make a revi by truma. Abba Shol says that the tful yom is so strong, he's like a rishon, that can make a sheni shlishi revi. So, listen, Rabbi Yossi would say, very good, like Abba Shol. But Rabbi Yochanan asked him, I don't think you'd hold like Rabbi Shol. You know why you shouldn't hold like Abba Shol? Now this is where we're picking up now. Because if you hold like Abba Shol, that a tful yom can make Kodesh, Tomei, Tasheni, Shlishi, Revi level, if he can go that far. So if that's the case, then laiti l'revi b'kodesh me'ochel shabbat machvis tful yom. Then he should have made a different kal v'chomer. He could have made a kal v'chomer to say there's a revi by tuma from a kal v'chomer from tful yom. Why did he have to make a kal v'chomer from a chusar kippurim? He could have made it from a tful yom. And why didn't he make a kal v'chomer from tful yom? And this is the kal v'chomer you could have made from a tful yom. You could have said, Uma ochel haba machmas tful yom. If a tful yom, what happens? That he makes food tummy. Remember, according to Abba Shol, a tful yom is like a rishon latuma. So if a tful yom, haba machmas tful yom, food the tful yom, that, and more than that. One second. Uma ochel haba machmas tful yom, that, and now the food that became contaminated through coming contact with the tful yom. The tful yom gufe mutter. But the tful yom for itself, gufe mutter, where the tful yom himself, who's the source of the tuma, may eat chulin. He can eat chulin. A tful yom can eat chulin. A tful yom can eat maaser sheni. A tful yom can eat maaser sheni. Yet, what happens? The tful yom is so powerful that maaser sheni touches something else, can make it a shlishi for truma, can make it a revi for kachim. Amra os revi b'kodesh. If it makes a revi by kodesh, then ochel the food that touched what? A shlishi, habo machmas sheni, that came from a sheni. What about a regular sheni of tuma? A regular sheni of tuma, something that's cool in a sheni tuma. Aser b'chol, can't eat meiser sheni. If meiser sheni is tame, you can't eat it. So all the more so, ain a din, all the more so, she'osa revi b'kodesh, he could make a revi for kodesh tame. So in other words, he's saying like this, the reason why I assume you don't hold like Abishol, because if you hold like Abishol, why did you make a kavachomer to learn that a shlishi, that touches a revi, can make kodesh tame revi from a chuser kippurim? You could have learned it from a tful yom. Because according to Abishol, a tful yom can go second shlishi revi. So why didn't he say the following kavachomer? By a tful yom, where a tful yom touches chulin, meiser sheni, you could eat it. Yet that meiser sheni, if it touches something else, and touches something else, is a revi for kachim. So all the more so, a piece of bread that's a shlishi, which is usur, for meiser sheni.
Yeah,
what?
You said shlishi.
Okay, a sheni. But even but certainly if the sheni certainly can make a revi for kachim, that should be the kavachomer according to you that goes that far. You should make such a kavachomer. Why didn't you say it? Must be you couldn't have said it. Must be you couldn't have said it. Must be the kachim that a regular tful yom does not make tuma go that far. So if tful yom doesn't make things go that far, so therefore you must hold like the chachamim, and you would also hold that the same thing by shlishi would be the same thing. A tful yom by shlishi doesn't make a tameh, so that would break it up. So therefore, I assumed you're not going to hold like Abishol, because why didn't you use a different kavachomer? And if you're going to say, well, I didn't want to use the kavachomer, it's tful yom. You know why? Because tful yom inherently has its own tumah. Maybe it's different because it's stricter to begin with because it has its own tumah. V'chitem, and if you want to say, mishum digel mirch, we say, you know why he didn't want to use that kavachomer? Because you could break it. Mal tful yom, tful yom, shekein avatumah. Tful yom himself is an avatumah. And we could say, you can't learn from a tful yom because he may be exceptional because he starts off himself a tful yom. He himself was an avatuma, which is not the case of a piece of bread that's a shlishi. But what kavachomer did you use? What kavachomer did you use? You learned it from Mechuser Kippurim. Nu, isn't the Mechuser Kippurim also have his own essential tuma himself? Ha'aisim a Mechuser Kippurim. Your kavachomer was from a guy who was a Mechuser Kippurim. Right, v'lo parchan. You didn't feel it broke the kavachomer then. And therefore, Reish Lakish, this is the conclusion. Reish Lakish says, therefore, I don't like your kavachomer, Rabbi Yossi. Now, Rabbi Yossi doesn't respond. Doesn't respond. The Gemara doesn't respond on that. So in other words, it comes that Rabbi Yossi holds to the kavachomer. Rabbi Yossi holds. How do we know? There's a revi by Kachim, his kavachomer from Mechuser Kippurim. He started off just like a Mechuser Kippurim. Mechuser Kippurim can eat truma, yet that's not going to make the kachim, it makes kachim possible. If the truma touches kodesh, it'll make it a revi. By Mechuser Kippurim, rather. So, again, Mechuser Kippurim, he eats truma, he's allowed to, but he can't eat kachim. So now, a piece of bread that became a shlishi, for truma, you can't eat it. So if he can't buy truma, all the more so, it makes a revi by kodesh. That was his kavachomer. To which Rabbi Yochanan said, but wait a minute, you're going to hold that it could be a revi by kodesh, but that's only Abishol's opinion. Don't you hold like the chachamim? So he's going to say, no, I don't know like the chachamim. But I would have thought you would, because if you hold like Abishol, then why didn't you learn a kavachomer from tful yom? And if you want to say, because tful yom has a stricter tuma, but b'chuser kippurim has same. So why didn't you make the kavachomer from tful yom? The Gemara does not give a rejoinder to that, but Rabbi Yossi still maintains his position. Rabbi Yossi, in other words, this is that last little footnote right at the end, skipping all this stuff. Where is it? I wanted to find it. I saw it yesterday. Because even though he knocks off the kavachomer, he doesn't mean to say he's totally refuted. Where is that? Where is it? Uh, as mentioned previously, Rabbi Yochanan does not advance a decisive refutation of the Kal v'chomer, but rather wonders how Rabbi Yossi can possibly expound the Kal v'chomer regarding an ordinary shlishi when he himself does not expound it regarding a food contaminated by a tful yom. He's saying, why didn't you make the Kal v'chomer by tful yom? So we don't, the Gemara for already reason doesn't say where Rabbi Yossi didn't choose the Kal v'chomer of tful yom. But it doesn't say that he's totally knocked off. In other words, Rabbi Yossi, who made the Kal v'chomer, and Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, I'm not happy with your Kal v'chomer, because I would have thought you'd hold like the Chachamim and not like Abishol, because you hold like Abishol and you make a Kal v'chomer at tful yom, remains a question.
There's an answer.
No, it's not an answer. That's Tosfos. He says that's Tosfos asking a question, Rabbi Yochanan's argument. Okay? But in the Gemara, that's going to get way too complicated. But from the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi doesn't bother to answer it. The Gemara doesn't bother to answer it. But it doesn't mean it's a total refutation. Okay? So there...
It's strange that Rabbi Yossi doesn't bother to answer.
Well, it could...
It's worth bothering, you know? It's almost like he doesn't...
You know, he's just saying, you know, I don't like your Kavach... Rabbi Yochanan, I don't like your Kavachomer. And the Gemara doesn't bother to answer Rabbi Yossi why he chose one Kal v'chomer over the other Kal v'chomer. The Gemara doesn't bother to answer it.
Last week, this whole idea about the Tful Yom and the Tzar Kedusha.
Kippur, yeah.
Being an Av, potentially an Av.
Starts as an Av.
Right. But then didn't we say, well, we put that aside?
Because we end up learning from more than one thing.
Because
Klicheres, from Klicheres, that was the Kal v'chomer to say a shlishi by the other Kal v'chomer, that was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Kal v'chomer. And that Kal v'chomer had to come out. He taka dealt with the question, had to learn from two things. Remember, he had to learn from Tvul Yom and Klicheres. He had to learn from two things. Okay. So therefore, and that's how it ends. So if you want, we can do a summary, the disputed mammers. Disputed matters. Our sugya accepts the validity of the Kal v'chomer from Mechusar Kippurim, which teaches that Kodesh is susceptible to Tumah on the Revi level by biblical law. That's the Kal v'chomer of Reb Yossi. However, in other words, Gemara doesn't say it's refuted. It's a question. However, the Gemara in Me'ilah has a different view according to which biblical law provides for Kodesh to become only a Shlishi, and the Revi level for Kodesh was innovated by the rabbis. Okay, so this seems to be machlokas later on. Now, let's go back to Rabbi Akiva. So he's leading us to the next point. Now, that's the end. That's the end of this hard part, really hard part. Now we just go to the hard part. Now, remember, back to Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva do? Remember, he expounded a verse as teaching that even chulin can become a shlishi. Remember, he says, sheretz falls into a klicheres. The klicheres becomes a rishon. What's inside? Yitma. Food inside becomes a shady, but since it's yitma, can mean yitame, which means can make other things tama. So Rabbi Akiva holds that by chulin, there's still an aspect of a shlishi by chulin. Right? That chulin can become a shlishi. Right? That was what Rabbi Akiva said. Gemara now is going to bring a number of tanoim that argue with him. And all the rest of the Gemara now, it's going to lay out about five names and say there's five rabbis who argue on Rabbi Akiva, and they say there's no such thing as a shlishi by chulin, and we're just going to show you how do we know that. And that's all it's going to do, which would tend to suggest that the law would not be like Rabbi Akiva. Right? The law would not be like Rabbi Akiva. Remember, he's saying shlishi by chulin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only said, but the Kal v'chomer shlishi by truma. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says from the Kal v'chomer he had a shlishi by truma. Rabbi Yossi says Kal v'chomer he has a revi by kodesh. Going back to Rabbi Akiva, he was the biggest chiddush to say a shlishi by chulin.
So kachin, he'd say, would be a fifth level.
Well, it could be. Could be maybe a kachin would be a fifth level. Could be. But we're going to see that everybody argues on Rabbi Akiva. Everybody argues on Rabbi Akiva. That's coming up now.
Are they arguing with his interpretation?
We see that they render laws. The Gemara's not going to get into how they argue on this. We're going to see. Here, fact. Fact. They make statements, and from their statements, we know they can't. He doesn't agree. They don't agree with Rabbi Akiva. It was just being editor of facts. This rabbi says this. Well, must be he doesn't hold. There's no shlishi by chulin. This one must be he doesn't hold. There's a shlishi by chulin, etc., etc. Doesn't say it. Doesn't get into why they're arguing on him. We just say it's a fact that all these rabbis say there's no idea of a shlishi by chulin. Amar Ravasi, Amar Rav. Ravasi said the name of a rav. Varmilan, some say it wasn't him, but Amar Rabba Bar Isi Amar Rav. It was Rabba, his grandson. Rabba, the son of Isi Amar Rav, said the following. Let's look at the list. Rabbi Meir, 1. Rabbi Yossi, 2. Rabbi Yeshua, 3. Rabbi Elazar, 4. Rabbi Eliezer, 5. Now, look who we got. Rabbi Yossi is somebody we already dealt with. We just dealt with Rabbi Yossi, right? He was the one who brought the Kal v'chomer that there's a Ravi by Kotchin. That's going to come back. We're not finished with him. And we got Rabbi Meir. Okay, they all hold, all five of them say, Kula Svirale. They all say, De Ein Sheni Osa Shlishi B'cholin. Interesting. Yeah, a lot of them are Rabbi Akiva students. I don't know, not Rabbi Eliezer. No, very fact, most of them not. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, were all Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Remember he had five students? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five students, Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Elazar was one, Rabbi Eliezer was another one. I believe Rabbi Yeshua also. So these were students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay. So anyway, and Rabbi Akiva is a student of them. So anyway, they all say that a sheni does not, if there's a sheni of chulin, it touches something else, does not make a shlishi for chulin. Now, generally, the Gemara provides a list of tanaim who maintain a certain opinion, usually. It means that only they hold this way, but the halacha does not follow them. Usually, when it says so-and-so says this, okay, you're the only guy who says that, but nobody else. But here we listed five. Our case, there is an exception. For the halacha indeed is that chulin cannot become a shlishi. I guess the fact that whipping out five rabbis against one Rabbi Akiva kind of is pretty conclusive. That notwithstanding your drasha, Rabbi Akiva, they don't agree with the drasha or whatever, but they don't agree with any of that. Now, what all the Gemara is going to do now for a long way, I think all the way to the end, is just going to show you a proof how each one of the five. We could see that chulin does not go to a third level of, which would affect mostly Meiser Sheni, right? Where else would it be affect? So let's say at Meiser Sheni, let's say something was a Sheni that told me it touched a Meiser Sheni, another one, it would make it a Shlishi. That's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. There's a Shlishi by chulin. They all say there's no such thing, it never goes past Sheni. Chulin never, for chulin, it could go to, Truman could be a Shlishi. It could go to Kachim to be a Ravi, maybe. But one thing's for sure, by Chulin, once it's a Sheni, it's the end of the line. It doesn't go any further to make any further Chulin a Shlishi. That's what these opinions. So now the Gemara is just going to prove that every Mishnah that's brought, we have to analyze the Mishnah. How is that proved that there's no Shlishi by Chulin? Rabbi Meir? How do we know Rabbi Meir? Titznan, we learn in the Mishnah, we're going all the way to Maseches Parah. Good luck. That's all heavy-duty Tumah stuff. So like this, Kol hata'un bias mayim midivrei sofrim, anything that has to go to the mikvah because of rabbinic law. In other words, biblically, it's tar. But rabbinically, it's tameh. All right? For example, the Gemara in Shabbos relates that the rabbis enacted various decrees regarding Tumah, declaring people or objects tameh in certain instances where they would have been tar biblically. These were among the 18 decrees enacted on a single day. See there for a complete list. A person or object deemed tame by these rabbinic decrees is considered a sheni. That's all. Whatever. The rabbi said, you know, for example, you touch a sefer Torah with your bare hand. They made it, you know, it's we don't want you touching sefer Torahs. Say you're tame, you're a sheni. That's all. That's what I'm saying. Whenever they say you got to go to the mikvah because of that, so what's your status? When the rabbis made rabbinic tumma, so how far did your tumma go? What did that make you? What could you do with that rabbinic tumma? Well, this is what happens. Mitame as hakodesh, if you would touch a korban, you'd make it tummy. It's a rabbinic tumma, but you'd make it tummy. Upos, that mitame as hakodesh means, and then that kodesh, if it touched something else, could also make it tummy, right? Because mitame as hakodesh means it makes the kodesh tummy, and that means the kodesh can make something else tummy, right? Uposel, posel means it's the end of the line. Uposel is a truma. If he touches truma, the truma can't eat it, but it can't transfer anymore, because posel means it's the end of the line. Okay? The person or object renders kodesh or truma a shlishi. That's what you're really doing. What is effectively when you have a rabbinic tuma? You're making something only kodesh or truma shlishi. Kodesh on this level is considered tummy, because if it's only a shlishi, then it can touch another kodesh and make a revi, because kodesh can go up to revi. But truma, the end of the line, is shlishi. Therefore, it's called posel something. But what do you see? We see that it can only make something a shlishi. Right? Can only make truma or kodesh a shlishi. And then last thing, umutar, what if he touches chulin? What if the guy who rabbinically tameh touches chulin, umaiser or maiser sheni, you're allowed to eat it. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, that is a person whose tummy rabbinically is permitted chulin and maiser sheni. And if a person or object in this class touches chulin or maiser sheni, they may be beaten, for they are not contaminated. So now, according to that, what status of tuma does this rabbinic tuma have?
A sheni,
right? Why is it a sheni? Because it can make truma tamei, right? But they can only make kachim a posel. So sheni to truma is a shlishi, to kachim is a revi. But what about for chulin? It don't go past sheni. If you could eat the chulin, it doesn't go past. I'm a sheni, doesn't go any further. It doesn't make it any further. Divrei Rav Meir. So what does Rav Meir hold then by conventional tuma by chulin? It doesn't go past sheni. Doesn't become, because if it can make a shlishi, what was the whole thing? Rabbi Akiva says by chulin, if it's a sheni, it can make chulin a shlishi, right? That's Rabbi Akiva. Akiva says that the food that's in that earthenware pot, it's a sheni, it can make something else a shlishi, right? So now what do we have here? This guy, the 18 rabbinic tumas. It's a rabbinic tumas. So anything like the rabbis is like, they make it similar to biblical. They make the ruling that it works. If it's tumah, we make it like biblical. So anyway, what does it say by a tumah? This kind of tumah is a sheni, and if it's going to touch truma, chulin, to make it a shlishi, it doesn't work. So it doesn't make it... How do I know it's a sheni? Because it can make truma tumah. How can it make truma tumah? It can make chulin. It can make kachim a revi. So it must be it's a sheni. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. However, v'chachamim osrim b'maser. But the rabbis argue by maser. The chachamim say by maser it make it tummy. That is, the sages forbid a person's tummy rabbinically to eat maser sheni and allow him only to eat chulin. The sages concede, however, that maser sheni touched by a rabbinically tummy person or object may be eaten, for it is not contaminated by that contact. It doesn't become a shlishi. Thus we see the Reb Meir, as well as his disputants, hold that a sheni does not create a shlishi in chulin. You got that? Because if this guy who's rabbinically tameh, if he touches chulin, does not make it a shlishi. Right? He can't eat maaser sheni, but if he would touch something else, if maaser sheni touched something else, will be okay. So therefore, that's proof number one. Got that? What?
Did we say what kind of tummy?
It's 18 rabbinic tumas. Specifically 18 rabbinic tumas. So according to that, it doesn't make chulin tummy. That's it. So it doesn't go to the third. So that's proof number one. That we see there's one person by chulin doesn't go to the third one. Rav Yossi is the second one. Rav Yossi, how do we know Rav Yossi that a sheni cannot create a shlishi for chulin? Hada Amrin. We already mentioned him before in the Kal V'chomers that he brought. Remember, I already taught you Rabbi Yossi's Kal V'chomer that a Shlishi creates a Revi in Kodesh. Now, he says a Shlishi creates a Revi. So if that's the case, if you're going to say by Chulin, a Sheni creates a Shlishi, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have more than a Revi by Kodesh. That's the whole point. Dimis, because if you hold that by Chulin, that it can make a Shlishi, so guess what will happen? If Chulin can make a Shlishi, then Lasi L'Revi B'Truma, it would make a Revi by Truma, V'Chamishi B'Kodesh, and a fifth level of Kodesh. But Rabbi Yossi never said there's a fifth level of Kodesh, right? Since he derives only the level Revi for Kodesh, we learn that the final level of Tuma for Chulin is Sheni. If Sheni, Chulin stops at Sheni, then Truma goes Shlishi and Kachim Revi. But if Chulin could go to Shlishi already, then Truma Revi, then Chulin Chamishi. So that's how we proved that Rabbi Yossi holds, again, that by Chulin it can't go past Sheni. Okay, let's go to number three. Rabbi Yeshua, I know Rabbi Yeshua. Ditznan, we learned in the Mishnah in Taharis. Rabbi Lezer Omer. Rabbi Lezer says, Ha'ochel, ochel, rishon, rishon. One who eats food that is a rishon of tuma. A person eats food that's a rishon of tuma. A rodent touched a steak. Okay, so the steak's a rishon. Now, if you eat a rishon, you are a rishon. You are what you eat. Okay, you are a rishon. What if sheni? What if a person eats foods that's a sheni? Okay, let's say that the rodent touched something, that touched something else. That's a, you eat the sheni. Sheni, you become a sheni. Shlishi, you eat a shlishi, you become a shlishi. That's who? That's Rabbi Lazar. We're trying to prove Rabbi Yeshua. So hold on. Okay, now let's look over here. One of the 18 decrees is that a person who eats tummy foods becomes tummy himself. That's one of the 18 decrees. Biblically, one does not acquire tumma by touching or eating tummy foods. Biblically, a person doesn't get tumma by touching food that's tummy. However, the rabbis were concerned that a person eating tummy food might unwittingly drink truma liquid at the same time. You see what would happen? I can eat tummy food. It's not a problem. The food doesn't make me tummy. Biblically, food does not make a person tummy. The rabbis say it will. You know why? Because they were concerned that a person eating, you might drink some truma, some juice. You can make liquids. You know, truma can be an orange. Squeeze the orange, you have orange juice. Yeah, that's truma. Now, what if I am eating here? I've got some tummy food that I can eat. I can eat tummy food. Here, I'm chewing a shady of tumma in my mouth. While I'm chewing, I'm taking some orange juice, that's truma. What's going to happen to the orange juice in my mouth, that's truma, when it touches the sheni? It'll become a shlishi. And I've made the truma tame. So for the rabbis, made it a rabbinic law that we're going to make you a sheni if you eat a sheni. Really, you're not. But the rabbis say you're a sheni. You get that? Because we're afraid he might drink tuma when he's eating the food. Again, a person can never be tummy from eating food that's tummy, biblically. If a rodent falls on a steak, the steak's a rishon, but food cannot make people tummy. That's the Bible says. Food doesn't make people tummy. The rabbi said, you're right, but we want you to be as tummy as the food you eat, only for a concern that lest while you're eating the tummy food, it's not doing anything to you, but if you're going to drink some truma, and the truma is going to be mixing in your mouth with the tummy food, it'll make the truma tummy. And that's not allowed. So that's all his logic. Therefore declared, the eater tameh, thus discouraging him from even touching truma, let alone drinking it. That is all Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds that the degree of truma imposed upon the eater is the same that possessed by the food he ate. And one of the reasons, go to Chulin over there. Fine. That's all Rabbi Elazar. We're trying to prove you're Yeshua though. So Rabbi Yeshua is going to argue. So Rabbi Lezer says, you're as tummy as what you eat, rabbinically. Rabbi Yeshua Amir, like this, Ha'ochel ochel rishon, if you're eating food, one eats food a rishon, V'ochel sheni sheni, or sheni, so if you eat a rishon, one who eats food that's either a rishon or a sheni becomes a sheni. Ochel rishon, a person who eats food that's a first level, v'ochel sheni, or a second level, sheni, he becomes a sheni. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the person eating tameh food does not always acquire the same degree of tumah as vudayet. Rather, his maximum level is sheni. The first rabbi says you could be a rishon, you could be a sheni, which depends what you ate. He says the maximum is sheni. Even shlishi, as for one who eats food that's a shlishi, so then what happens? He becomes sheni b'kodesh, ve'ein sheni b'truma. He becomes a sheni in regarding if he's going to eat kachim, but does not become a sheni in regard to eating truma. In other words, we consider him to be contaminated as a sheni with respect to kodesh, so if he touches kodesh, he makes it a shlishi, and in turn can make other kodesh revi. Or we do not consider him to be a sheni with respect to truma, and those of you who touch truma, he does not contaminate it as a shlishi at all. All right? So if he's a sheni, so where does the sheni really work for? The sheni only works to make kachim a problem. If the guy eats anything, what do we say? He doesn't become more than a sheni. And therefore, when does it become a problem? And even that, it only becomes a problem for truma, but for kachim, but not for truma. Now, what would we now say about chulin then? Bechulin, shenas al taras truma. So now, how does somebody eat truma when the person wants to eat? How does somebody eat chulin? There are people who are strict that they would eat chulin on the level of truma. Okay. That's what he's saying. I'm sorry. So we're saying like this. The Gemara is really asking, so now what would ever happen by chulin? Right? How can one ever eat? How can one come to eat a shlishi? Right? So this could happen with chulin that were prepared on the level of tahar of truma. Okay, Rabbi Shua explains when the Mishnah states one who eats food that's a rishon, sheni, shlishi, it does not refer to one who ate truma or kodesh, because eating truma or kodesh that is tame is a biblical violation which we avoid even mentioning. Rather, it refers to one who ate chulin. And since ordinary chulin cannot reach the level of shlishi, it must be referring to chulin that were prepared according to the standard of tahara required for God. In other words, there's people who be machmer on themselves. There are people who even though they were eating chulin, they were, I want to eat it as if I was eating truma and give myself all the stringencies. There's certain people like that. Kohanim who are accustomed to eating truma would sometimes undertake the practice of treating their chulin like truma in order to habituate themselves during the exact center of tahara associated with it. In other words, let's say a kohen. Can a kohen eat non-truma? Yes. But if he's going to get used to relaxed standards by non-truma, he may, unfortunately, relax the standards by truma. Right? So the rabbis ordained that chulin belonging to a person who undertook to be strict the tahara level of truma assumes the tumah properties of truma itself. Thus, if it comes into contact with a sheni, it becomes a shlishi. Okay? So that's what he's saying. So bechulin, back. So now what happens again? Bechulin, if a person eats chulin, but shenas and altaras and truma, but he's eating it as if it was truma, how would we treat it? Now really it's nothing, but he wants to be strict. So then it's an issue. It's an issue. So that's what he's saying. This is who now, it's Rabbi Yeshua. Again, Rabbi Yeshua says, basically, you're like a sheni. You're like a you eat anything that's tummy, you're like a sheni. Not more than that. And therefore, it's a problem by truma, because it'll make it a shlishi. It's a problem by kachim. It could make it a revi, right? And a person wants chulin al taharis truma. It's a problem. But who was it not a problem for? A guy who's eating chulin regular. What? Not al taharas and truma, but al taharas and truma. Only the guy eating the chulin as holy truma, then it's a problem. But what about al taharas a kodesh? What in chulin prepared on the level of tahara of kodesh? It does not exist, for such food is treated as ordinary chulin, like ordinary chulin cannot become a shlishi. That is, say, a resolution. Whatever person says, you know what, I want to treat my chulin as if it's kodesh, even higher level, does not cause it to take on tumah properties of kodesh. Rather, the food remains no different than ordinary chulin, and cannot, I don't know why, doesn't say why, and cannot become a shlishi. That is because the practice of Tri and Chulin Kodesh is deemed an aberration. You're nuts. I mean, if I'm a Kohen, and a commitment to observe this practice is meaningless. In other words, only a select minority of devout individuals used to treat their chulin like Kodesh. And the Rebbe said, not ordained for the benefit of those few, that their chulin should actually assume the Tara Kodesh properties of Kodesh. By contrast, but the Kohanim was different. There were masses of Kohanim. I just lost the place. Oh, man. For Truma makes sense. But for regular me and you, what do you mean, a grace of tzaddik you want to be? Who wants to eat like things like Kodesh? Right? So b'chulin shenas altaris of truma in altaris hakodesh lo. Okay, so now what? So what is that obviously implying by regular chulin? Alma, what do we see? Alls alma ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. Obviously, by chulin it doesn't make it a shlishi at all, because we only say regarding truma there's an issue. Regarding kachim there's an issue. Regarding guys eating chulin to be like truma. But it's like truma make it an issue. But not even for Kodesh. But what do you see? But what's the simple law for just chulin? That there's nothing past sheni. And by strict chulin does not make a shlishi. So this is the proof of Rabbi Yeshua. So we figured out 3 out of the 5. Tomorrow we're going to get 4 and 5. And my goal tomorrow, even if it's just with Tony, is to finish up to the 2 dots, to finish the tuma aspect. So when I come back, we'll be going with smooth sailing.